Our sermon text this evening comes from the prophet Zechariah, chapter 12. And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Israel a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son. On that day, the weeping in Jerusalem will be as great as the weeping of Hadad Rimon in the plain of Megiddo. The land will mourn, each clan by itself, with their wives by themselves, the clan of the house of David and their wives, the clan of the house of Nathan and their wives, the clan of the house of Levi and their wives, the clan of Shimei and their wives. The word of the Lord. The king was dead. And though that might have been a statement of relief if it had been applied to previous kings, for this current king, all it brought was wailing. That was the only thing that could be heard on this war-torn plain in Megiddo as the king took his last breath, wailing and mourning. The king's name was Josiah. And unlike his predecessors who had been vile and violent, he was faithful and upright. Ascending to the throne at but 8 years old, the book of Kings from the Old Testament has this to say about Josiah's reign. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed completely in the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. So what had this Josiah done to receive such high praise from God's holy scriptures? Well, when he was 10 years into his reign, at the age of 18, they were doing some refurbishing of the temple because over the past few generations, it had been neglected. And during that refurbishing, some of the workers found a set of scrolls. And after showing them to the priests, it was decided they had to show them to the king. And when the scrolls were presented to the king tore his robes in grief because he realized these weren't just some long-forgotten words of some long-forgotten man. This was the book of the law, the very word of God itself, which put Josiah at an interesting crossroads. He could either follow in the footsteps of his father Manasseh and those before him, who did all they could to snuff out the worship of the true God, or he could follow in the footsteps of King David, the man after God's own heart. Well, over the next few months, the people of Judah not only heard but also saw Josiah's answer as pillars of smoke rose on the horizon line. And this rising smoke came not from the destroyed temple, or from any burned scrolls of the Lord. No, the smoke rose from the ash heaps of previous idols and high places where they worshiped gods of sun, moon, and stars. The once neglected word of God was to be neglected no longer. The nation was to be gathered from priest to peasant, and the king himself would read the book of the law, all of it. The words about laws, the words about history, but most importantly, the words about the promise. The promise made to Abraham all those generations ago, the unilateral one-way covenant, the promise that God would do the acting and do the delivering, and Abraham would receive all the benefits. But not only Abraham, but his offspring after him as well. And so as he read the book of the law, the people stood there in silence. And when he finished, he put the scrolls down and he began to speak himself. In front of everybody, he renewed the covenant once made to Abraham and Moses and King David. He renewed it for himself and for the people of Judah at that time. He said that the people would be the Lord's people and that the king would be the Lord's servant. He would keep the commands and decrees of God Almighty with all his heart and soul and mind. And inspired by the king's words, all the people said the same. And so for the rest of his reign, King Josiah kept that covenant. Every idol, every false god, every high place was destroyed and torn down and burned and turned to nothing but ash, what they truly were. With righteous fury, Josiah did all he could to snuff out evil from Judah. But it wasn't enough. Though Josiah's account ends with these words, that neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did. Even that wasn't enough to deliver the people of Judah. Before he could even turn 50 years old, Josiah was dead, pierced by an arrow, an Egyptian arrow. Egypt, there it is again, the great enemy of Israel, the one who had enslaved them all those years before. But at this point, the word Egypt was not only an enemy nation for the people, it was a representation of something much more sinister. It was a representation of evil and unbelief and sin. And so as the bier carried the body of Josiah to its final resting place, and the king was gathered to his ancestors, the people wailed. Because on that day they lost much more than just a king. They lost their spiritual leader. They had lost the one who had brought the word back to them. They had lost the one who had driven evil far away. They had lost the one who had been faithful when no one else was. And yet he was all those things and couldn't be the Savior. He couldn't rid Judah of their evil. And so as time went on, the gods came back. The high places were reconstructed, and eventually the wrath that God promised was fulfilled. And they were taken off into exile. It was clear that they needed something or someone better. A true Savior, one who would not only destroy the trappings of Satan, but would finish the enemy once and for all. One who would not only renew the covenant, but keep the covenant perfectly. One who, like Josiah himself, would be pierced. The king was dead. And though at the time of Josiah, those words were reason for mourning and wailing, that wasn't the sound that echoed from the cross-covered hill called the Skull. No, the sound that could be heard was jeering and laughing and scoffing. The king's name was Jesus of Nazareth, and unlike his predecessors, he wasn't vile or violent, but faithful and upright. Seated on the throne from Ancient of Days, God's angel Gabriel had this to say about him. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. And so what had this Jesus done to earn such praise from God's holy scriptures? Well, unlike King Josiah, who only renewed the covenant, this Jesus, from the moment of conception, kept God's covenant, followed God's laws, the laws first given to Moses, the laws renewed by Josiah. And though he lived among a faithless and sinful people, he remained sinless and faithful. And then, at the age of 30, he publicly took the throne, but not in a way that you'd expect. It wasn't a kingdom of marble or stone or wood or brick. No, it was a hidden kingdom, an invisible kingdom, a kingdom ruled by the gospel, the kingdom of God. And as he ruled, he went around preaching repentance and forgiveness. In righteous fury he drove out evil and sin and unbelief. When he spoke, the demons fled. When he acted, nature itself bent to his will. And yet before this Son of the Most High could turn 34 years of age, he was dead, crucified on a cross, and for good measure, pierced by a spear, a Roman spear, a Rome who, like Egypt, had become more for the nation of Judah than just an enemy power. It was an entity that represented much more: evil, unbelief, and sin. And yet, as this king of the Jews hung there suffering and dying, a few people wailed, but most rejoiced. But why? How is this king of the Jews any different than King Josiah of old? You wailed for him then. Why don't you wail now? If anything, he is more faithful, more righteous, more zealous. Don't you realize you're killing the spiritual leader of Judah? Don't you realize you're killing the one who brought the word back to you? The one who had driven evil far from you? Don't you realize that he was faithful when all else weren't? But that's exactly the point. Though King Josiah did all he could for the nation of Judah, it wasn't enough. They needed a greater king. A king who'd be able to not only tear down the trappings of Satan, but eliminate the enemy once and for all. A king who was not only going to renew the covenant, but keep the covenant perfectly. They needed a king who would be lifted high and pierced, just like Josiah. And there he hung, all eyes on him, just like the prophet Zechariah said. But why? Why this? Why this way? Well, he was following in Josiah's footsteps. You notice how the king died? It was in battle against Egypt. But this true king of the Jews died not fighting a power such as Egypt or Rome, but he died fighting everything that Egypt and Rome came to represent: the evil and the unbelief and the sin. But whose evil? Whose doubt? Whose lack of trust? Whose sin? What caused this? The prophet Isaiah said it best. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The nation of Judah mourned over the death of Josiah from priest to peasant. And yet at the foot of this Jesus cross, this Jesus, this King of the Jews, this King who received nothing but verbal, emotional, and physical abuse from the very ones that he loved, from the very ones that he came to save, the very ones he created with his own hands, from their mouths not a wail or a mourn could be heard. And so if they're not going to wail, and if they're not going to mourn, who will? Who will mourn for such a king, such a savior, such a God? Who will look to the one they have pierced and mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son? Who? The one who mourns is the one who sees themselves in the hour that the prophet Isaiah prophesied. You catch it? He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. He hung there, abused by mankind and abandoned by God Himself, so that He was reduced to nothing more than a sacrificial lamb, bleeding and bleating to the one who was slaying Him. The God who wouldn't listen. The God who wouldn't hear. The God who had turned His face. The God who poured out His wrath. This punishment from God, this was the punishment that we had earned, that we deserved. This punishment was on Him. And so what the faithful men and women of old, of today, and tomorrow had hoped for might come to be a reality. That by His wounds, we might be healed. And we have. After all, didn't you notice that even though the people didn't wail, didn't mourn, that creation did? Didn't you see as the sun hid its face, unable to watch Jesus die? Didn't you feel the earth tremble and quake and shiver at the thought of God taking on the sins of the world? Didn't you hear the curtain in the temple tear? The curtain that had once separated even the holiest of men, the priests, from God's presence. The curtain that stood there as a testimony that no sinner can approach God and live. That curtain has been torn into by God Himself. Didn't you watch as those holy people who had been swallowed by death were released and proclaimed the praises of the Almighty? Do you know what this means? That even as this Jesus body is taken down from the cross and wrapped, not in swaddling clothes and placed in a manger, but in grave clothes and placed in a tomb, that even at this moment, death is defeated, sin is forgiven, the victory is won. But what a cost. What a price. The death of the King, the death of the Savior, the death of our brother. As we enter Holy Week next week, dare to look up and look at the one they have pierced and see in that man hanging there for you the extent of God's wrath, the consequence for sin, the cost of breaking God's covenant. But as you dare to look up, don't only see there a reason to mourn, but also a reason for hope. See in that one they have pierced the solution to your problem, the answer to death, the one who has taken you and buried you with Him in the tomb, including your sin. And if we are united with Him in a death like His, you can be assured that you will be united with Him in a resurrection like His. Come quickly, Lord. Amen.